You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout.
531. And well, that's how we feel when we get to talk Patriots with our next guest, Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal, whose phone is all updated and loaded up with the newest apps now. He's good to go. Chris, how are you?
You know, Rich, there are days where I love technology. There are days where I curse technology. I was cursing technology about 20 minutes or so ago, but I'm all good now.
Well, we're glad to hear that and glad to have you on with us as the Pats get ready to take on the Panthers this weekend. Did you ever imagine, when you were learning the ropes as a young journalist, that you'd have to be writing about, among other things, who's standing and who's kneeling during the national anthem?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, and I will say this, that at Boston Sports Journal, we've kind of maintained a strict policy of focusing on the field, and that's not to say that there are not other things that are, you know, important. Other things are important, you know, especially when it comes to the debate that's been around the NFL, especially over the last couple of weeks. But yeah, it's become one of those things that the league has been caught up in. No matter what side you're on, I will say this when it comes to the Patriots, no matter what side you're on, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, my experience is that this team acts as a group of grown-ups, for lack of a better term, and they will continue to handle their business in a grown-up fashion. They're not always going to be agreements on, you know, throughout the entire locker room. There's not going to be agreements, you know, between the coach and the players, and when it comes to all kinds of different stuff, but especially when it comes to something as sensitive as this. But I will say this, again, as a guy who's covered the Patriots for an extended period of time, I would be fairly confident that this is not going to be the sort of thing that's going to bleed over into on-field performance issues surrounding this team.
Yeah, I feel reasonably confident in that as well. So let's talk about that on-field product this week as they get ready to take on the Panthers. Are there legitimate concerns about the defense after last week?
There are concerns about where they are defensively. Now, if you're a glasses half full guy, you'll look at the injury report that came out today that said, you know, that certainly indicates that Dont'a Hightower is going to play. Now, if you start to say, all right, well, let's put Hightower back in the middle and let's, you know, you feel good about where you are with the continued maturation of guys like Dietrich Wise and Adam Butler and Trey Flowers on the other side, feel a little bit better about where you are with that front seven now. And it's a domino effect if Hightower gets back in there and he's something close to 100%. I will say this. I can't imagine the Patriots secondary playing any worse in an important game, in a home game against a high-level opponent like Carolina, or a potentially high-level opponent like Carolina, any worse than they did the previous week against the Texans. So I think that they're really looking for I think you're really looking at a bounce back game here for this defense. But again, I think a lot of it starts and ends with whether or not you get Hightower back. If you get Hightower back, the dominoes kind of start to fall into place when you're talking about that front seven. Again, you feel good about where you are with guys like Flowers and Dietrich Wise. And then you move forward from there.
Now, you posted earlier that Rex Burkhead, the only guy listed as doubtful for Sunday's game. What does his absence do to the team?
It's ribs. Ribs that he injured late in the New Orleans game. And he was, I'd have to go back and double check on this, but I believe he missed all of practice last week and he missed the first two practices of this week. There is a slightly more optimistic tone today than there was yesterday around his injury because he was not ruled out. He's only doubtful. And again, I'm not saying that Burkhead is an absolute offensive difference maker, but you start to see things start to click into place if Burkhead is out there. You know, you get Gillis Lee doing more of what he's good at. You get, you know, James White and Deion Lewis, you know, kind of more back in their, you know, comfort zone. So I think the offense would get a jump start with the return of Rex Burkhead. But again, I think right now the offense, if you're kind of grading one or the other, I don't think there are any questions about the state of the offense right now, especially when you put up that kind of point total against one of the best front sevens in the league last week against the Texans.
Of course, when you've got a 40-year-old quarterback, you've got to be extra vigilant about protecting him. Are they confident that the line can do their job to keep Tom Brady untouched?
Yeah, I should have actually added a quick proviso there. The fact that, you know, you feel good about your offensive skill position guys. The offensive line right now is not playing as well as people expect it to be playing. They've left themselves a little bit short at tackle. Nate Solder struggling a little bit. And they need to figure out a way to nail all that down, to take care of that. And the interesting thing for me, Rich, and this offense has become, the passing game really has become a lot more vertical with the season-ending injury to Julian Edelman. That's not the only reason, but there are other factors that go into it as well. When you consider Brandon Cooks, Philip Dorsett, Chris Hogan, Rob Gronkowski, all guys who can stretch the field, who can take a top off a defense, you have to have much better pass protection than you did last week against the Texans if that is going to be sustainable. Now, again, the glass is half full guy would say that, you know, that was one of the best, if not the best, front seven you're going to face all season long. So, you know, it's debatable at this point. But I think really the bottom line for me is, if I'm a Patriots fan and you're going to stretch the field with guys like that, you got to get a better performance when it comes to pass protection. You got to get a stouter performance out of that offensive line when it comes to protecting Tom Brady.
Hogan looked great, and Cooks last week finally looked like the guy that you were hoping to bring in when he first came to the team.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a healthy Cooks, a healthy Hogan, and if you get some support at the running back position, as well as a continued high level of performance out of Gronkowski, that passing game, you know, there's going to be no worries about the passing game. Like I said before, the only question is whether or not that offensive line is going to be able to hold up and protect Brady if they're going to decide to, you know, chuck it 40 times a game or so. I'm fascinated to see where they go really from here with a running game, because I think that at times it's been good, especially in the red zone, but when it comes to short yardage performance, there are a few issues there, you know, as well as the fact that they're not hitting that 4 yards per carry mark that Bill has talked about on occasion, that, you know, that is really the mark, the real sign of a quality running game. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything kind of evolves with this offense right now. I think one of the things to keep in mind here is the Patriots, in a lot of ways, consider the first 4 games of the regular season, we've seen this before, basically an extension of the preseason, with the understanding that, look, if you get in a dicey situation, your quarterback, your coach can kind of, you know, pull your backside out of the fire like we saw last week. They're still testing things out. They're still figuring things out. What works, what doesn't work, what personnel combinations are advantageous for them depending on the opponent. So you're going to see some things continue to kind of shake out on both sides of the ball. But again, more often than not, when you have Brady, when you have Belichick, those two guys are difference makers, especially in situations like that.
Christopher Price with us here on Downtown from Boston Sports Journal. Well, Brady's doing his part to beef up those running numbers, and I don't know if it's the avocado ice cream or the 12 gallons of water he's drinking every day, but this guy, he's having, it's early on, but you could argue he's having one of his best seasons so far.
Yeah, he really is. I think it was the guys over at Pat's Pulpit stacked his numbers over the first 3 games of the season against the first 3 games of the season, the last few years. And it wasn't as good as last year, and it wasn't as good as 2007, but it's right up there, you know, and you understand that you're going to have to take a mulligan here and there. And I think maybe that's what the Kansas City game was. And I think, you know, they're still kind of getting used to life without Julian Edelman. But if he continues to produce at this current rate, you know, there's no reason to think that you're not looking at one of the best, if not the best season for a 40-year-old quarterback in the history of the game, you know, and admittedly, look, that's a short list with guys like Brett Favre and Warren Moon. But at the same time, like you said before, he's doing his part to hold up his end of the bargain. You're going to need to see more from a couple of guys around him to continue to keep this thing moving forward.
Coach Bill earlier in the week said that Cam Newton is a public enemy number one for the Pats defense. Is that the key, just the ability to contain him?
Yeah, it really is. And I think that they got a little taste of that style of play last week when it came to dealing with Deshaun Watson, talking to Trey Flowers and Adam Butler and Dietrich Wise after the game. And they were worn out chasing around Deshaun Watson for the better part of 3 hours in 80-degree heat. It's not supposed to be that warm on Sunday, but I think you're going to need to see that same defensive game plan when you're talking about Watson, when you're talking about Newton. Containment, gap discipline, making sure that he's not able to make plays with his legs when things start to break down, because that's when things get really, really difficult. It's going to be interesting to see on the back end, the Patriots do end up playing man, if they end up playing zone. In situations like that, when plays start to break down and guys are in man coverage, you have to recognize as a cornerback when you break off and you go up and help and run support. And I don't think that, you know, some of the secondary was able to recognize that in time last Sunday against the Texans. That's one of the points of emphasis going forward this week against Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers.
It is, by the way, Chris, it's a huge Boston Sports Journal week here on the show with you. We had McAdam earlier in the week, and we had Joe McDonald. So tell Bedard I want my check.
Very Very definitely. We're going to cut you in. No worries.
I appreciate that. And by the way, I don't know what they did on that update to your phone, but it sounds fantastic.
You know what? We'll have to send the good folks over at Apple a thank you for that. So I it's good news. I'm not cursing technology like I was earlier.
No, it was worth it. It was worth the wait, but I knew it would be. Chris, always great talking Patriots with you. Enjoy the game this weekend. We'll be following along. And for anybody who's not a subscriber yet, my gosh, it's the best money you'll spend in sports in New England. Sign up for Boston Sports Journal. Thanks, Chris.
I appreciate that, Rich. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Christopher Price with us here, talking Pats on Downtown.